This week's episode is brought to you by Being a Ginger, because not only do you get to burn really easily just by looking or thinking about the sun, you get to itch for an entire week after because it's peeling. Welcome to HodgePodcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and not joining me this week because of some technical difficulties would be my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge, but he will be back next week for sure. We'll spend next week, you know, talking about Medicine Stone and how much fun it was and, you know, the ups and downs of camping during a hurricane. Well, not a hurricane, but yeah. But this week, we have an awesome interview with Jamie Lynn Wilson. She was kind enough to sit down with us for about an hour, and a lot longer than I thought she would. And we got to just talk to her about, you know, what the state of country music is or what is considered country and all this. And obviously her new album, which comes out October 26th, go online, pre-order it, vinyl, CD, iTunes, whatever floats your boat, you do it. She's awesome. But yeah, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Here is an interview with the awesome, now our best friend, officially, Jamie Lynn Wilson. Enjoy.
I don't know. I guess it was probably because it was a little cool last night, actually, instead of it being sweltering like it was the first night here.
I know. I was here the first night, too. Just carrying around the baby the whole time.
Yeah, when we were here last year, it was just sweltering every day, and we're like, oh, it'd be nice if it was cool, and I'd take that back. I'd rather have that.
Today will be the perfect day.
Glad that it's not going to rain. Well, I guess fingers crossed.
Right.
Looks like it's clear.
Yeah, we had a joke going yesterday. Every time it would like slightly slow down, someone would just go, "I think it's letting up."
And then it never did.
Yeah. So we were saying next year we're gonna make shirts for our campsite just says it's letting up.
I need a shirt. I was telling Roy yesterday. I have a shirt that says "Mama needs a cocktail," but I've had it for 8 years and it's pretty worn. Another one of those.
Yeah.
And also I need one that says, yes, they're all mine. I keep, like, every time that I've gone to the grocery store or whatever with all the kids, oh, it's like, are all those
weird? You just always have small children around.
Yes, they're all mine.
Just get, like, the thing one and thing two shirts for them, but just one through four.
Yeah, this is a different, or another one that says, this is a different baby. Last time I saw you had a baby.
You can't have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Or three.
Yeah, it just never grew.
Well, we were going to have real mics, and then I forgot mine at home. And so now we're going to make the MacBook work.
We're ghetto rigging it through the Mac, yeah. It works.
Yeah.
You can hear it. So you said this was your fourth Medicine Stone?
I think so. I judge by babies. So the first time I came, I brought TR with me, and he just turned four. So that was 2015, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah. This is our second year here because, I mean, other than Windy City Smoke Out, having everyone come up for that, we don't really get these festivals up there. So we're like, all right, we're going to make the 9-hour drive down to Tahlequah then for a good Red Dirt Festival.
Yeah, 9 hours isn't bad. I think it's nine for me, I think.
Oh, really?
That's the part that's craziest to me. Is like I feel like I'm traveling so far, but then Texas is just so damn big.
Yeah. I know. You're so close to Texas. It's still so far from me.
Yeah. Getting down here, I was like, Austin was probably a 2-hour drive from here.
No.
I think it's 6 straight.
Jesus.
6.5.
Yeah. I got no concept of space now.
Without stopping. I know. Every time that we tour up north, we're going to have to go to, you know, Iowa, and then we're going to go to Omaha, and we're in Kansas City, and, like, three states in 3 days, and they're all like 3 hours from each other. Yeah. 2.5 hours.
Yeah, we're not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, like he lives in Iowa, and that's 3 hours from Chicago.
Right.
So it's just a quick, hop and a skip over there. So yeah, coming down here, we're driving through three states. It's so far.
Yeah. Easy drive home to make it back home.
Yeah. But because up north, I liked the kind of jabs that you, Charlie Crockett, and Aaron Lewis all threw. It's just like, this is a country festival, and we're at a city smokeout.
Did they say that too?
Yeah. Charlie, right before it gets off stage, goes, all right, everyone, just let's try to keep country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I just remember going, huh. All right, I heard this was a country festival, so here's a little to-be country song for you.
That is exactly how I feel every time I look at the lineup when it's announced. I'm like, I thought you were going to have a country fest. At least with Windy City Smokeout, it's nice to put a lot of good artists right there in one day.
Yeah, it's confusing because, kids that have never, that didn't grow up with any semblance of actual what country music used to sound like, they think that that's what country music sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you say something about, that's kind of pop music, and it's fine for pop music, and they're like, no, that's what country sounds like. That's country music now. So the definition is just changing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I want to
And that's, you can fight it as much as you want, but,
That's what gets me, because it's like we're in this weird middle ground where I still like using country to refer to actual country music.
Right.
But then there's this whole world of people saying, oh, this is country. I'm like, okay, so let's just have a sit down. Let's decide, what are we going to call things?
Right. You kind of have to just say, because people ask me what kind of music I play. And if you say country music, people will, I don't listen to country. I'm like, well, not radio country. I don't play that. So you have to kind of say, I don't play the country that's on the radio. It kind of sounds like what used to be on the radio.
Just be like, I actually play the guitar. And they'd be like,
right. There's acoustic instruments in my set that don't run through synth pedals.
Yeah, single out.
It's all cool. I'm into all that stuff. I just want to have an option of being able to listen to something actually has.
Yeah, I don't know. I always feel you can listen to whatever you want. I'm never going to hate on anyone's preferences for music. It's just when they're just like, this is what country is.
What gets me is that there's no options on the radio. I can't tell if I'm listening to a pop station or I'm listening to a country station. And there used to be actual distinctions of style. And the only way that I know that it's country is that there will be a syncopated banjo in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
And the banjo wasn't even on country radio until the Dixie Chicks.
Hmm?
Whenever they came out, they were too campy because they were the banjo.
Oh, my
God. So,
how dare they?
How dare they? So then all of a sudden that became this is how you turn a pop song into a country song. You have banjo in the back.
Exactly.
And throw a steel guitar on it somewhere or.
Just really lightly in the background. So it's there, but you can't actually hear it.
Yeah, it's just a pad back there to go, this must be.
Yeah, we were joking because when we were also at Winnie City Smokeout, not to point anyone, single anyone out, but Walker Hayes was up there doing his rap songs, and he started one song, he put on an acoustic guitar, we're like, oh, he's going to break it down, and literally before he started singing, he took it off, and we're like, alright.
Maybe they changed the set list.
Yeah, he forgot what song he was playing.
Maybe they called an audible.
Yeah.
Decided to change the
set list. Well, that's what I love so much about down here.
Hi.
Howdy.
He's sleeping still. You take him? This is Roy.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
These guys are Midwesterners.
Oh,
yeah.
They're from Iowa.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Chicago. like the Bears and you're like hashtags.
It's okay. We get it too. People make fun of our accents.
Yeah, you too. We've got that a lot since coming down here. Everyone's like, oh, you guys are from Chicago. You like the Bears? I'm like,
Brennan, we tour with Brennan Lee a lot, and she's from North Dakota.
Oh, yeah?
And so whenever we go up there, she always makes jokes about, she's like, yeah, say Minnesota one more time. It's real funny. Every time anybody says it. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say it that way.
Don't you know?
Yeah. My older brother went to university in Minnesota, so we're like, oh, you're a golden gopher.
Yeah. She's like, it's real funny, guys, you know. I'm like, yeah, that's almost as funny as the baby jokes of, you know how that happens, right? Yeah, I do. Nobody's ever said that to me before. It's weird. It's a funny joke. What are you trying to have, a baseball team? Yeah.
Almost there.
I have four kids.
We just start.
You almost have a basketball team.
Yeah.
Starting five.
Yeah.
For now, you're going to have to play.
I know. Half the reason that I didn't tell anybody that I was pregnant was so I didn't have to hear that every day.
It's like getting ginger jokes. I've heard that every day since
South
Park.
Yeah, I know. People used to be original with their humor.
Mm-hmm. that is the truth.
It's like if I ever comment something about, I don't know, country music on any social media, someone like tell me I'm fat. I'm like, yeah, no, I've seen a mirror before. Like, you're not pointing anything out. This isn't anything new that I'm hearing.
Did you have fun last night?
Oh yeah.
Through
the rain.
We did. Managed to stay about as dry as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Did you make it through the whole night?
We went down between or after your set, and then it was just downpouring, and we kind of felt stranded, and so we didn't end up getting back up.
Yeah, we're bummed we missed out Charlie, but thankfully we saw the Windy City Smoke out this summer, so we're like, well, at least it's not one that we're missing out.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's in Chicago in November.
Yeah,
and
getting to see Cody Cannon play with you, and then also just play with Jason Ball and Mike McClure. We're like, okay.
Right.
Still get to see a lot of it, which is nice.
Well, that's the cool thing about these festivals where we're all friends.
Yeah.
Is that, like, last night I was setting up for my show, and Cody Braun, you know, Reckless was playing after me, and and his tech came up and was like, hey, Cody wanted me to go ahead and set up his DI. What side do you want him on?
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, are you just going to set it up, like, so that he can come play with me? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I have to set it up anyway, so... might as well do it. And I was like, Cody, you're gonna play with me? And he's like, well, if you want me to.
Well,
I was like,
last year didn't.
You know, it's just that's the way that it is here. That so it's cool that we can. Everybody just you don't have to catch every set because everybody kind
of. And I love that about that because I feel like it's kind of what music's all about.
Right.
You know, when
it
comes
makes
down
it
to
fun.
It, and it makes every set that much more interesting.
And it makes it more fluid and not like. So this is our set, and these are our parts, and, like, do not stray from what we always do, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you
it's
go,
like,
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, when I got the email about setting up, like, the interview and getting media passes, they're just like, it's different because it's not just you go back there and no artist knows each other. It's just a big family get-together. And I was like, and I love that about it because it was also, I don't know if you ever heard that, now infamous Cody Jinks quote when he was in Peoria where he said, fuck Nashville, we'll start our own club.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, that's awesome because Paul Coffin wasn't even on the set list, but he's going up there and singing with them anyway. And like,
well, that's what's, I mean, and all of those guys, like, I don't know, it's just anybody that wants to be friends with people.
Yeah.
Is invited to be friends.
Yeah, and they're
know?
Not.
So,
no one's being turned away if you want
to
jam.
Anybody that wants to be cool and be friends is in.
Yeah,
you know. Awesome. So like, I mean, I know Paul. We've written songs together, and and it's the same. Like anytime I was in Dallas one time, I posted a picture of like the Dallas skyline in the morning, and 5 minutes later, I got a text from Paul.
Yeah.
You in Dallas? You want to come have coffee? I'm at the Beaumont. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, like,
I love the whole family.
Yeah,
family
it's way cool. And then there's like kind of offshoots of like Sonny and Ward and Cody and Paul and, you know, and then there's like John and Tyler and like there's like all of the offshoots of like where we live.
Yeah.
You know, the regional kind of groups, but then we all get together at one of these festivals or at Steamboat or at Key West or whatever, and it's just it's a family.
We're hoping to go to that Mile Zero.
Go.
It's my birthday weekend, so I really want.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, it's only happened once.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
It was.
I would love to get down there. I remember last year looking at the ticket options, and I was like.
Yeah.
yeah. kind of hard to get to Key West.
It's hard to get to Key West. Yeah,
especially.
I flew into Miami and rented a car. And
oh.
That wasn't bad. I mean, if you feel like driving through the Keys, I've never done that before. So I flew into, actually it was Fort Lauderdale. It's a sand, you know, it's all right there.
Yeah.
Southwest flies into Fort Lauderdale. It's all Florida.
Just a bunch of
I realize
people.
That's not the thing. Florida, like, it's so far from.
Yeah.
You talk about Texas being far away from each other.
God,
like,
yeah.
it takes you so long to drive down Florida. But I rented a car and flew, like, out of Fort Lauderdale, and it's 3 hours. The 3 hours drive
okay.
down the Keys, and it's a way cheaper ticket. and it's a good drive.
Oh, I mean, that's
if you've
not
never
that bad.
If you've never done the Keys.
Road.
You know,
yeah.
you
yeah.
just kind of drive over a bunch of bridges and see a bunch of bait places. Another bridge, another Pizza Hut, another bridge, some wedding venues.
Oh, yeah. I would love to get down there. I would love to get out to Steamboat, too. I had actually, I don't think I'd ever heard of it until last year.
Oh, really?
And then I saw the lineup, and I'm like, oh, how did I miss this?
Yeah,
yeah, it's like 50-plus
yeah.
artists. It's a
yeah, the first year we heard about this, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, we heard about it, because obviously word doesn't travel up north in terms of real country.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Kevin, we should look into this. And then we found out some of my friends from college come here. This is their 5th or 6th year, I think. I think
yeah.
they might have been all except the first year. And so they're like, yeah, come down with us, camp with us. So we're like, yeah, we're 100% doing that. So we came down here and we loved it.
Yeah, so are y'all camping, like, in a tent, or do you
yeah.
have, like, a...
Yeah, the ground has not been kind
that?
To my back.
I was about to say,
yeah,
how
yeah.
was that last night? Did y'all's feet get covered?
Well, I had an air mattress, the little thin one that has deflated, and so just on the ground, and I managed to stay dry, except for, like, when I woke up, like, my feet area was all wet. But I didn't notice until I woke up, so we're good.
Right. You know, you don't need that much sleep.
It's over,
yeah. As much as I love the special, I am looking forward to a bed again, so.
I know. We got a room last night. I camped last year.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah.
You know, they offer us rooms. We get rooms. And I was like, yeah, I kind of want to camp.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was nice with, it, you know, no rain. I mean,
I'm glad
hot.
I didn't do that. Well, I couldn't have because I have the baby. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to have all the flaps open on the tent so you have the breeze rolling through. This year, we have to have them all up because it's raining.
Ooh, I've been nice.
Yeah. Yeah, thankfully I bought, after the concerts on Thursday, I couldn't fall asleep, so I got up and drove to a gas station to get batteries for my fan that had died, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to fall asleep without this, so I have to get this.
One time, Roy and I were talking about it last night, that probably 15 years ago. I think we were dating. I'm not even sure we were married. But we played, my first band, the Gougers, played the Larry Joe Taylor Festival in Stephenville, which is also a real big camping situation.
I got told about that by some random drunk dude.
Yeah. Lots of those at the Larry Joe Taylor Festival. That's, he probably is a regular there. But it's huge now, like 30,000 people huge.
Oh, wow. That's
so
crazy.
But it wasn't that big at this point.
Yeah.
But we were camping backstage, and it was like tornado warnings.
Oh, Lordy.
And stuff. We're in this little, like, two-person tiny tent. And I'm like 22, you know? Like, how is it? Did you just hear a tornado warning on somebody's radio? And,
yeah.
Yeah. So
we're
we
like,
just,
man, Turnpike should write a song about this.
Yeah. Years later. Yeah, that's not good. We just in our tent through the tornado, and then the next, like, Stoney's bus couldn't get out, and, like, nobody's bus could leave. So
that's what I was kind of wondering about, like, here.
There were a couple that were stuck. They had to get Charlie's out this morning.
Oh, wow.
It would.
Yeah.
Our minivan got stuck right there last night. We had to ride in one of those mules up to the room.
Jesus.
Roy came to get it out this morning, and he was like, security guy just pushed me. Like, literally just pushed with his arm. The minivan came out.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, this does, though, remind me, we have Country Thunder up in Wisconsin, and I went a few years because I remember I went 2012 and Wade Bowen was there, and
yeah.
so, like, the headliners are usually the, you know, the pop people, but early in the day they usually humor us by having the artists that I want to hear
right.
there. And like this year, they were like, "Of course we." Like Sam Hunt was a headliner, but earlier in the day, they're like, "Yeah, we have Mark Chestnut." I'm like, "Well, why don't you have him headline?"
Right. You know what's funny that I always think of is like all of these people that are here. You know, Wade, Randy, and Turnpike, and like they've done what they've done with zero radio support.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So they get this huge following. You know, regionally big,
yeah.
selling out, like, Turnpike sells out everywhere they go, large venues.
Yeah, that's the thing. We haven't gotten our tickets from the House of Blues, and we're worried we're not going to be able to get them right away.
Right.
We got to get home and get them.
With zero radio support.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll get XM Play, or they'll get regional Texas stuff, or
yeah.
your little Americana stations around.
Yeah.
But, like, I wonder why big pop radio, you know, like, mainstream radio doesn't go... You know what? If people were exposed to this, they would like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing that blows my
because
mind.
Because people like, aren't exposed to it,
yeah.
and they still have a huge following.
Yeah. I mean, why we started making a podcast, which is we wanted to tell our friends
right.
to listen to better music because they listen to trash. And I was like, there's so much out there
right.
that I know that you'll like if you just hear it. And that's what I think it gets crazy. Like, we'll tell people we're coming down here for this, and like, oh, who's the headline? I'm like, okay, well. Turnpike and Jason Bolland, and no one has any idea who they are.
Right.
But when we come down here, everyone's singing along to every word, to every song, and I just think it's beautiful.
With zero radio help.
It's amazing. And that grassroots building
right.
of a fan base.
So, like, why don't they just grasp? It's because they try to put them in this, you know, they've tried. Like, Randy and Wade have all done the Nashville, like,
mm-hmm.
going, I've done it. Like, I had a publishing deal with one of my bands, and But they go and they try to kind of go, all right, cool, but let's try to produce some stuff like this. Like, why don't you just let people see if they like what we do already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, why do we have to put more bells and whistles on if they might like it?
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Are you afraid of?
Yeah.
I think, like, are you maybe afraid of people liking
yeah.
something that's not in your controllable
yeah.
level?
What if we're wrong?
Yeah.
What if people like real music?
Yeah, like, I mean... People can have their opinion on whether Eric Church is country or not, but at least he writes his own stuff, and they let him do what he wants to do.
Right. Stylistically, who cares?
Yeah.
Really, in my opinion, that's what I really... Like, I heard a song today when we were eating breakfast, and I was like, yeah, this is a good song. I wish it didn't have that production, but this is a good song.
Yeah.
I think it was a Kenny Chesney song. Probably off his new record. I haven't listened
yeah.
to it. But it was good.
Yeah.
And it made me go, I wish it didn't have that on there, but whatever, it's cool. At least people are getting a good lyric.
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
A good, smart lyric.
I wonder if it was Better Bo, because that's a single right
yes.
now. And
yes,
yeah,
that's
a Travis Meadows song. So,
there you
yes.
go.
Yeah, so
oh,
I've heard Travis Meadows
sing that. That is what it was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, at least people are hearing a good lyric.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they're,
and at least Travis Meadows is getting a paycheck
for it. Yeah, he cut a Bauman song, and that,
yeah,
that
well, that's the thing we were saying, that it was kind of cool that Chesney kind of did his own thing on this, because I think he just left his record
yeah.
label or something, so he kind of put out his.
It's funny how
subject.
It always happens. You get to do that when you leave
yeah.
your record label.
Yeah, yeah, or you do it, Tim McGraw, and you release a truck, yeah, when you get free
oh
from
God.
Your label.
I know, but then, you know, every once in a while there's some that come through, like,
yeah.
that, you know, he released Humble and Kind. Awesome. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's a great song, people.
Yeah.
And then slowly people maybe went, oh, this lady wrote this song, and looked up Lori McKenna.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
You know, so, like, sometimes
yes.
that kind of...
Because that's cool, because I think she was the first, like, solo songwriter who had a number one in a long time or something like
and
that. Like, it's usually the people who was... yeah.
That's the most amazing part.
You know, isn't it real... It's another interesting thing that, like... There's this whole, like, girl thing in country music. They won't play women on the
yeah.
radio, but women write all the songs.
Yeah. exactly. Yeah.
They're like, we don't want... People don't want to hear what women have to say in their song. Like, but women are... Jesse
like,
Alexander writes half of that... half of those. Hillary
people
Lindsay.
People want to hear what women have to say. They just don't want to hear them
they
say.
Just don't want to hear the women sing on them. Natalie Hinby. Like, all of these really successful...
Yeah.
You know, Beth Laird, like, mm-hmm. really successful women songwriters are writing all hits for the
yeah.
dudes.
Yeah.
And
then our friends who do...
And they're like, women's points of view don't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
they
it doesn't play.
No one
likes
wants to.
Yeah. And we have our friends who are when people are interested in, like, hearing, because, yeah, like we said, we started the podcast for our friends. It's just we ended up getting kind of a following from it, which is kind of cool. But we were like, we just wanted to introduce our friends, because then we're like, there's like, there's no good women country. It's like Kelsey Ballerini, Carrie Underwood. I'm like, no, you just haven't heard the good stuff.
Know.
Like, you
and
just don't know what's there.
I mean, I tell my own family that.
Yeah.
Like, I went to a family reunion the other day. They're, you know, we listen to whatever, you know, we like your new songs. What have you, you know, it's like they had never paid, they knew that I was doing this, but then all of a sudden I kind of got a little publicity push.
Yeah.
And so they listened and went, that's what you do? Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, welcome to the last 15 years of my life.
I haven't talked to you since Facebook was invented.
Yeah. You know how whenever my kids come and stay next door with my mom because I'm on tour, this is what I'm doing.
Just thought you travel a lot.
Oh, you thought you were on like a brewery tour.
Well, it's also a funny thing. Like, I live in a small town and I grew up in a small town. So, and I was like this when I was growing up too, because I wasn't exposed to, you know, anything else but Reba and and that, but music was good. Anyway, people will say like, "Oh, you're going to Nashville this weekend? Wow, are you gonna be like Miranda? Are you trying to be like Miranda Lambert? Are you gonna be on the TV? Are you gonna, you know?" Like, well, there's a Voice. If I could tell you how many times I got asked if I'm going on The Voice, like, there's other ways to do this, you guys. Like, there's not anymore, you know, to get super popular.
Just,
but they like don't understand that I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
Like I say, no, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want to be like that. Then what are you doing? Like, well, there's this whole other level of a songwriting career that you can have where you don't have, like, I can strive to not be recognized in Target.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, I can go and play 200 seat rooms and fill them up all over the place,
mm-hmm.
make a living, support my family, and not be famous.
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Yeah, and that's awesome. You know? Is it in your hometown, are people kind of oblivious to your following? That exists, or are they kind of figuring it out now?
They're figuring it out. I'll get messages on Facebook or whatever from, I was watching a Facebook Live of Wade Bowens, and he had your shirt on. You know, like, what? I saw a video of you singing with, you know, whoever else they love, or, you know, and there's always I heard that was you on Turnpike. Like that, because in
you're
my
like
hometown I didn't have this last name, so
my
hometown I was Jamie Griffin.
Okay.
And so for a while it took some, and on Facebook I'm not Jamie Lynn Wilson on my private.
Yeah.
I'm like JL Wilson, or like, so there's,
sure.
there's, yeah. And I change it every once in a while anyway, but so they'll go, somebody told me that this is you, and like send me a Spade, you know, or like some song that I'm on Turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So does that mean that you know Evan Felker? Yeah.
Nah, we just sang in separate rooms.
Yeah, it does mean that.
Like,
that's really cool, you know. Anyway, it hasn't gotten like, it's just, they're still surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, because I didn't do this either when I was growing up. Like, I didn't get a guitar until I got into college.
That's
so to a lot of these people that I grew up with, I'm a completely different,
like figured out music all the
time. I was an athlete in high school, you know, so like it was an opposite, like I wasn't even in the choir, I wasn't in the band, I wasn't, like, and then I just went that way.
Did you always sing though, just like for fun?
Yeah, I mean, talent shows whenever I was little, just because my dad was on the fair board, and
sure.
the fair board kids had to enter the talent show or else there wouldn't be any. that kind of stuff, you know. I always liked it, and I always thought like if I could do anything I would like to be a singer, but like I said, whenever I grew up, it was, if you were saying country music, you wore a ball gown and went on TV.
Yeah.
You know, you were Reba McEntire in the big red dress, or Lori Morgan, or Susie Boggess, or like you were that. And I knew that I didn't want to be that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I don't, you know, I didn't know that it existed. And then I saw, like, I went to college and I saw Susan Gibson play somewhere at a bar, and I saw Rodney Crowell at a bar, and I would go watch Bruce Robinson all the time, and Jack Ingram, and these people who were at this other level, and went, huh, maybe do, you know. Went and saw the Dixie Chicks one night, and it was at this huge arena show, and before I had a guitar, and my cousin and I were there, and everybody cleared the stage, and Natalie Maines stood up there by herself and played Cold Day in July with just a guitar, and I was like, I could probably do that. You know, like, not like this, like,
yeah,
but I know I can sing that song,
mm-hmm.
and I could probably get a guitar,
mm-hmm.
and I could sing and accompany myself in my room. You know, like, I didn't mean, like, I could be on stage doing it. I just meant, like, I could probably do that.
Absolutely.
Like, learn some chords.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know anybody that played guitar.
Yeah.
I didn't, like,
you just self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know any, like, growing up, there was nobody around that played guitars. My grandma played piano, but, like, I just, like, I don't know. And so then my cousin and my mom got me a guitar for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's what I did. And yeah, my high school friend, I mean, I was in band, but I played saxophone. So in college,
right.
I started playing guitar, and it was the same thing.
Right.
Just like, no one's going to hear my songs, but I like sitting in my
room
and writing my own
songs.
Yeah,
it's therapy, especially when you're in college.
Oh, yeah. It was, I always tell people, they ask why I started writing songs. I'm like, because it's therapy.
Yeah.
It's the best
Sorry,
form
I'm
of therapy.
I'm allergic to Oklahoma, if y'all want
to. I'm just really upset that we're just
I know, I'm
ruining
like,
your day.
I'm like reminiscing and getting emotional. No. My eyes are watering because Oklahoma hates me.
I had some allergy problems yesterday. It was wonderful.
I know, I was losing my voice at the end of my set. I was like, no more songs, I'm going to lose it. If I do one
sick.
More right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, growing up, you're not exposed to all that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially in small
towns,
you know, without a music scene.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I don't play music, don't do music, but just my experience with learning about just this whole world of music, the whole Red Dirt thing doesn't even exist for most people north of where Oklahoma is. You know, I grew up, like, my dad loved all the oldies, you know, like Merle Haggard, Waylon, all that stuff. So I heard that, and then I heard what was on the radio. I had no idea there was anything different, and then several years ago, I started hearing the Red Dirt. I'm like, how come? Who's been hiding this from me this whole time?
But it is. They're actually hiding it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, like, all of Nashville, all of mainstream radio, they know that this exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they go, we're not touching it. You know, like, I don't, because I don't know exactly why. I mean, it's probably got something to do with we're headstrong and we're not going to go
there.
Yeah,
they
won't. But they can't mold.
Exactly.
They can't mold somebody that's already molded themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
they can't tell you to put a bunch of production on top of your song.
Right.
And
I mean, that's the whole, like, Chris Stapleton phenomenon. You know?
Right.
He was already his own dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of infiltrated the system. And then they went, I don't know, let's see. And he went,
that's the
because
thing.
People have
yeah.
been craving authenticity
yeah.
on the
yeah.
radio for so long that they
but
go,
it's
holy shit, what is this guy?
Yeah, but it's insane that the radio still doesn't care because he's still, I don't think he's had a number one hit yet.
Right, and then
which
they
is
went, Will, and it was after, wasn't it an award show or something that he went on and
yeah.
sang?
He sang with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
At,
and then everybody
like
went,
yeah.
And
yeah.
so he got some attention for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the radio, it went down.
Yeah.
But on iTunes, it's still, those three
yeah.
records are still
yeah.
like in the top 10 of iTunes.
It's been selling like crazy.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show that people want. Because
people
they
want it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Miranda and Tin Man. Like,
oh,
how
yeah.
far did that get up on the chart? Like, to like
40.
Yeah.
yeah.
It didn't.
Maybe 30.
It didn't
which is,
go up on the
yeah.
radio crazy. Chart, but it, like, iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the downloads and.
When
like,
the first time I heard that song, I was like. What
because
this?
When they heard her sing it, they went, what the hell is that? That's what we, like,
yeah.
you know, people are craving the authentic songs.
Jack Ingram releases it and Michael Number One.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, that's the other part, yeah. They just get
I think he's
it.
Got it.
yeah, there is a version. I don't know if it's on that Hotel album. I can't remember what it was it's called, but it might have been on that one.
I think he's got one coming up.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, I remember we were going to see him and you in Iowa, but I think that show got canceled or something like that.
Yeah, I think he went on family vacation. He had a family vacation scheduled that wasn't on the books.
Nobody wants to come to Iowa.
Is that what she said?
I was bummed, though, because for some reason I actually do have kind of a Midwestern following. Like, I can go to Minnesota. Like, I spent all of the summer out of state. Like, I was up in Kansas and Iowa and Minnesota and then in Chicago. Like, I did that for pretty much the whole summer. And I don't know. I make more money out of state anyway. And it's good to be out in the summer. And,
it's not as humid up there.
As humid.
Yeah.
I still complain about it.
It's insane that there's definitely a demand for that, because I remember they started a third country station up in Chicago, and the whole advertising before it started was just like, different country, this is going to be its own new thing, and then they played the same stuff, and it's just three of the same stations. I was like, if we ever get a voice big enough, let us have a radio station, and we'll play Red Dirt. And
I want a radio
station. You'll see how
Wouldn't
many...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Or just
play whatever you want.
Even if it's not us, but... You'll see how many people leave those three stations for that station. People don't... It's like a double-edged sword there. They think no one's listening to it because it's not playing, but it's also not playing because they don't think anyone's listening to it or are afraid of it.
And it's all advertising money and all that, too. Because, the advertisers, it's not a sure bet.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of...
Yeah.
And you can't operate a radio station on I swear it's good music.
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But even when we had, Turnpike right before Brothers Osborne at Windy City Smokeout, I was actually surprised at how much of the crowd was singing every song. Like,
I know. When I got up on stage to sing, I was like, wow, these people are into it. You know,
I was so excited.
I didn't know either, because it's such a...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the other bands were so different.
Especially in Chicago, and then with the people that were playing throughout the day.
Yeah, and, Turnpike fans aren't really known for being the most accepting of, pop country. So I was like, these people aren't going to sit through all of these other stuff just to be in the front.
We were on the other side.
I went and visited my sister and came back. I did actually skate some. Yeah.
There was that catwalk, in the front of the stage for everybody to use. And I was like, everyone can go out there.
That would have been funny. I would have laughed really hard if Evan did just walk out.
That actually reminded me of when we saw Cody Jinks, and he had the same catwalk for, I think Chase Rice was also there or something like that. He just goes, I ain't going out there. I ain't no Nashville pretty boy.
I love it.
So funny.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Music, it's so subjective anyway. And also, one thing that I've realized being in this business and being so passionate about what I like and what I've learned that, like, some people are really into music and some people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just want to hear stuff that makes them want to have beer.
Some sort of noise.
And something that's in the background. And after they hear it 14 times, or what's the number officially, like 21 times?
Before it comes
like,
a habit or whatever.
It's like after you hear a song 21 times, you think you like it. Because you know the words.
Well, see,
so, like,
that just cracked the code on why the radio is the way that it is. We'll just play the same shit over and over again.
Right.
Eventually,
and then
you're gonna like it.
They do, because it's a mental thing. Like, after, even me, like, one time I was flipping through stations and I was like, this sucks. And I got to something that I was like, oh, cool, this is fine. It's like nostalgia. I like it. And then I realized whenever started singing it was She Thinks My Tracker's Sexy.
It is a groundbreaking work of lyricism.
Yeah.
And at the time when that song came out, I was so anti She Thinks My Tracker's Sexy. I was like, this song is horrible. But then I was like, this shit that's on the radio right now is making my tracker sexy sound like Guy Clark.
It's so true.
Like, what is happening? But it's because it was so familiar to me, because
they,
all of a sudden, it like the the music of it, like the intro and stuff, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. I know this song.
It's just as soon as you hear like a fiddle, you're like, oh, thank God. There's an actual violin.
And so it was like a, you know, I had that moment of like, geez. But you know, some people are really into film.
Mm-hmm.
And they get really upset with me when I tell them my favorite movie is Tombstone. They're like, no, but the thing is, you have to watch this other movie. Like, you no, you just don't know. Because, and then they like give me all this film festival artsy movies. And I'm like, nope, I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to think whenever I'm... Like,
yeah.
I want to watch something that either makes me laugh or, like, mostly just makes me laugh. Is Tombstone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where I know every word to every, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Where it's just the... It's the best. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, to them, I'm a Neanderthal. But I just don't care about the artistic nature of movies.
Yeah.
And some people just don't care about the artistic nature of songs.
Yeah.
They just want to hear something
yeah.
that is, you know, common denominator
like,
song.
I understand when people don't like... You know, they don't care enough to listen to the lyrics. Like, I can
right.
guarantee you that you just want to hear the sounds. But then what I think about is, like, at your set yesterday, everybody just jamming. And
right.
just solos and
right.
jamming. I'm like, okay, tell me that there's a person who doesn't like that. Like,
right.
there's not even any lyrics you got to try to pay attention to at
right.
this point. They're just showing off how great
well,
they are
also,
as musicians.
Also, I mean, the other side of all of that is that, like, I know that I don't want to watch... Every once in a while, I'll go, okay, cool, hit me with your, you know, Last Night in Paris or whatever artsy movie.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's an actual movie. I'm just imagining
it's
something
I mean,
about
it
Paris.
It sounds like someone definitely made that.
If not, they should.
Just get a screenwriting credit.
But, like, but if you're not exposed to it at all is where the problem, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like, there's a lot of people who go, I didn't even know.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, and
I feel like it's at
and then they feel cheated.
Yeah. What the hell? Oh wow.
Yeah, well, because I remember even after just our very first episode, we talked about Eric Church because it was a safety one that we knew about. But
right.
we were at the end, we always say like what we're listening to, and he brought up Shane Smith and the Saints, and our buddy texted like right after close, he goes, I just listened to that band and they're awesome. I was like,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Like
yeah, you just you know, because there's great musicians everywhere. And there's also really bad ones everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we can go into that another day.
Talking shit on Pop Montreal all day.
No, it's, but that's, I mean, that's one thing the internet has helped us
yeah.
with, you know, us smaller
sure.
bands. People discover us on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
that's how I got a lot of things from the Discover playlists on Spotify.
Right.
Yeah.
But... Then there's a whole other thing about how to get on those.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like,
the
you know,
top.
Those playlists are the new radio, so you got to have somebody
oh, yeah.
pushing those, your songs onto those
playlists.
And that's
playlists. Such a disappointing part of it. It's like, oh, we got this new avenue for music to come to the people, and you can do whatever you want.
And
all
then
of
they
sudden,
go and disqualify it.
People take the
yeah.
playlist
well,
and...
The worst one was when they had a Randy Travis playlist. It was like, this is what Randy Travis is listening to. The first song was Kane Brown. I'm like, he's not listening to
yeah.
that.
Don't believe
that. I promise that's not true.
Yeah.
I
or,
don't believe you at all.
Like, he met him once and his publicist said, hey, we're going to stick your name on this playlist. And
I know. I have a soft spot for that guy, though.
Kane Brown?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I've only listened to a few of his songs. But you know what you should do is... But I just think that he looks so gentle. Like,
yeah.
I think that he just looks like he's a really nice guy.
Probably
and
is.
He was at the,
I'm sure
he's. And he was at that, he was at that Chicago Festival, too.
Yeah.
Backstage.
He was the one that skipped.
Yeah. He seems like he's real sweet. Like, I want to be his friend. Be like, come here, little fella. Come sit with me.
Yeah.
Your friend.
Oh, yeah, that's always also the thing we always have to disclaim to people. It's like just because we don't like their music doesn't mean we don't like them. I'm sure
right.
they're very nice people
yeah,
out there. But.
I know. And I think and a lot of those guys, like I feel kind of bad for them sometimes because sometimes they're not in charge
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
And they're just and they didn't have songwriting aspirations. They yeah. just know they can sing and they like to. Mm-hmm. And so then they go there because they can sing, and somebody goes, "Come here, little boy. You know, here's some candy. Come over here. Tell you what you should play. This song would be a huge hit." And they just go, "Cool, I'll sing it. What do you want?"
Yeah.
You know, because people are in it for different reasons. Some people want to be stars. Some people just like to sing.
Yeah.
And some people, 10 years into their career, go, "Oh shit, I should have never done any of that."
Yeah.
And they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and because, like, whenever I was little, my mom wanted, like, if I would have said, "Mom, I want to be a singer," she would have gone, "Cool, I'll figure out a way for you to move to Nashville." Like, yeah. she would have done that for me
yeah.
as a 16-year-old, you yeah. know? And I'm so, because she, there was an Opry close by that she was like, "I can get you on, like, if you want to go sing on this Opry whatever night, we can go do that." And I was like, "I don't want to do that." But if I would have made a different choice and said, "Yeah, I want to be a singer, let's go."
Mm-hmm.
I would have been, like, the person that did that that's my age is Leanne Rimes.
Yeah.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
she was the, not that I would have been Leanne Rimes,
yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
but that's the trajectory of someone who just moves to Nashville that can sing
yeah.
and is marketable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They go, "Here, do this."
Yeah, we can take what you have and we can do this with it. And
right. And then they end up not having a choice. Like, I've read several articles about country singers that... Is he still sleeping? I've read several articles about country singers that say that. They're like, "We don't have... Like, I regret all of these things.
Yeah.
And I don't have control over anything."
Yeah. And thankfully, it's once that leash is cut that they can just talk out without having to fear
right.
being
but
blackballed.
But for those 10 years...
Yeah.
Like, they just... I mean, not wasted them, but they
yeah.
just kind of... they were used for evil. Their talents were used for evil. Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel bad for them, so I don't go, like, to the pop country people and go, "Ah, oh, it's horrible, and you're bad for doing that."
Yeah.
I go, "God, I'm sorry if that's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
It might be what you want to do, so cool. But if it's not, I feel really bad for you."
Yeah, there are some where we watch and we're like, we can tell that they're just up there for the fame.
Right.
You can tell pretty quickly when it's
right.
like that. Especially when...
And then there's folks like Eric.
Yeah.
That he's great.
Yeah.
And
he's doing what he wants.
And he's doing what he wants. And he is, you know, he rides that line of marketability and, you know, easy to... He can be artistic and commercial. And that's a... You know, it's a really, really, really fun line. But he rides it,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
pretty
yeah.
well. Like, that song, that Best for Man song that he has out right now.
Sounds kind of like a Stone song. And
yeah, also
yeah
song,
I mean, that's a Ray
yeah.
Wiley co-write.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Ray's like, "Cool, I'm in." "Dress me up like a drug dealer for your video."
I haven't seen the video, but I'll have to check that out.
You
that's
should,
awesome.
It's really good.
Is that awesome?
He's like in a blue polyester suit, being all Ray Wiley.
Awesome.
I cannot believe this is happening. For all of you in podcast world, my baby's been sleeping for like 3 hours. We've been waiting for him. But he did not sleep past 4 a.m.
Oh, that's a fun time.
Woke up at 4 and fell back at 9. Now it's just out.
I can only imagine.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like we'll get in trouble if we don't ask you about your new album. So.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So they were kind enough to send it over to us, so I have
got to hear it.
Got to hear
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
And
like it.
I actually don't want to spoil all the songs for them because I want them to be surprised. Even though we still did back it, and so we are looking forward to our autographed copies.
They should be coming. I have to do that this week.
I
love it
fun,
but package all of the things. And also order new. I have to order more because I forgot about promos. I was like, I'm not ordering a bunch of CDs. Nobody buys CDs anymore. Like, at shows and stuff, they really don't.
Mm, yeah.
And so I ordered, like, kind of just enough to cover the pledge people and then, like, some extras, knowing that I'd have to reorder eventually a little bit. But but I have to already. Like, I didn't get enough.
That's a good problem to have, I guess.
Great.
But, earlier we said how it's therapeutic to write. But how do you write, like... I'm going to spoil the song for everyone. Death and Life, how do you write a song kind of like that? Because that's just kind of a story rather than like
yeah,
first
but it's
person.
True.
Is it?
Yeah. So that one in particular, I tried with this record to kind of stop being introspective.
Yeah.
Because who wants to hear one person's point of view for like 3 or 4 records in a row?
Yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah.
I'm not that interesting. So I started to kind of pay attention to like all the stories that were happening around me. And that song in particular, it had been marinating for a long time. Like I knew that like this situation's happening and I'm watching it and that needs a song.
Yeah.
And then this situation over here is happening and that needs one too. And I didn't know that they were the same song.
Yeah.
Like for a long time. But so like that one, I just, Roy's aunt, actually, her husband passed away and in 2014. And I was talking to her one day. We had gone to the cemetery for something, probably a funeral, maybe just to walk around, because we do that. But the kids wanted to see Uncle Joe's gravestone, and we went over there, and he still had the little funeral temporary.
Oh, really?
Like, it's the metal one.
Oh, yeah.
Just said Joe Soa, you know. Just, and it had been 2.5 years since he passed.
Wow.
And so the next time I went over to Ann's house, I'm like, we went to the cemetery and the girls wanted to see Joe's gravestone, and she's like, I know, I haven't done that yet, and it's, I want it to be this and this and this, and she was kind of telling me what she wanted on the, and she couldn't get it right, she couldn't figure it out exactly, she wanted a double one, and had her stuff on it too already, and I was like, yeah, and also, it's a lot harder when you see it in stone.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of went, like, I was like, it maybe hasn't happened.
Yeah.
If until you know, like, I
it's
just kind of
it's that the accept, I mean, written in stone and the
right.
acceptance of it, yeah.
Right, and so she was like, yeah, you know, and so that moment I was like, well, that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so like,
what's going on?
So that's the first verse is
yeah.
her, you know, mm-hmm. like it was almost 3 years before she,
oh, wow.
before they got a stone, and so, and also like there's. I watch like the family, like, they've got grandkids and the grandkids act and look like the grandpa and they, you know, like there's like this,
yeah.
and that helps her
yeah.
to face, you know, being alone or whatever, you know, and they're a really tight knit family. So the kids come over all the time and so it just helps her. And then Roy's dad is the second verse.
Okay.
My husband's dad passed away and he knew, like, he had cancer, so he knew, like, it was terminal, you got 6 months,
yeah,
you know, go make amends,
yeah.
do your stuff, and,
yeah.
And Roy's dad asked him to build him a casket, to build him a
coffin. Oh, wow.
It's heavy!
Yeah.
It's so heavy!
Yeah.
And Roy's like, my dad asked me, blah, 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 I'm like, okay, are you gonna do it? You know? Yeah, I have to. He asked me to do that.
No.
You know? Well, so then, the day that he died, and it wasn't, he didn't end up dying from the cancer. He ended up, 6 months later, fainting and hitting his head on a pole. And,
oh, wow.
And he, like, they couldn't operate. It was, but I was like, what a blessing. Like, pancreatic cancer or falling asleep for 3 days?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that your dad would be fine with that.
Yeah.
But, so he died. We went home, and Roy went to the lumber store. And it was like, it was one of those things where, like, his dad was really smart because he knows that that's how Roy handles stress, is to go, like,
do something
to do. So, like, we're all eating casseroles and pies and visiting and hugging and doing the funeral thing, you know, like, the visiting thing.
Yeah.
And him and all the men were in the shop with nails,
wow.
you know, hand
wow.
building this coffin for his dad. So it was like one last
mm-hmm.
thing. And so I was like, okay, that's a song somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to do that, really. And that was, and it took 4 years for me to get that into, like, between when the song happened
yeah.
and
wow.
the and it going, swirling in my brain,
yeah.
you know. But what helped it all come full circle was then, in 2014, so 2 years after he died, we had a baby. I was born on his birthday.
Oh, really?
So every line in that song You know, then he had a baby boy born on the same day as his dad.
Yeah.
So he took his name to give him. It's the best thing that he had. So we named our son Thomas Roy after Tommy.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was born on his birthday. Like, it was like this whole thing where we're like, this is not real life. Like, that all just really happened.
This bow tied too neatly.
Yeah. I know. And he acts like him. He's a little shithead. Like, he is real funny and charming and smart and is really going to get in a lot of trouble, you know, as a grown-up, I can tell. but, like, all of those things, like, they actually happened. And then as I came up with the chorus, like, it's just, like, everything just keeps moving, you know? And it's just the whole point of that song. I tried, and my mom called me the other day and said, do you expect anybody to like this song? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I hope. But I didn't, yeah. I mean, I just kind of, I hope so, but it's not, like, to me, it's not sad. It's, like, just kind of matter of fact. Like, this is how it goes. Like, everybody knows that you put one foot in front of the other, and this is how you deal with life after death. Like, life here after somebody that you love, and we all handle it in different ways. Like, you know, Roy builds a coffin. And then my kids, every funeral that we go to, they go, can we go look for people? And they go and look at the tombstones and see if they know. Like, they know where their great-grandparents are, and they know where their uncles are, and a cousin, or is this the person that you said, blah, blah, blah? You know, I recognize this name. And, you know, Joni can read now, so she's, like, all over the place. And run in, and it's no big deal to them.
Yeah.
Like, they're so comfortable with the idea of dying. Because they have known so many people. We live in such a small town, and we're all so close-knit that anybody who passes away, there's a lot of old people there, you know? And they know them all, and they love them all. So anybody that passes away, can I go to the funeral? Can I go to the cemetery? And, you know, so that's how I got that idea of jumping over rocks. And, you know, and I don't know, it ended up, and I didn't even finish that song until 2 days into the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was we were already recording, and I was like, I gotta finish this one, and I don't know how to do it. And I just kind of started playing on it and figured it out finally. And then we recorded it the next
day.
I know, me too. It was just like, I needed it. Was one of those, like, after I finished it, I was just like, numb.
You're just like, oh,
like, I worked really hard on that. Like, my brain has been working under the radar for a long time now.
Yeah, there's always those songs every once in a while where I get done here listening to it. I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, I know. I needed that one. And now I can stop thinking about it. It's one of those.
Move on to your next pop country album.
It's easier. Bring in some synthesizers and
just
beats.
Just tell someone that they're going to play banjo, but then you just don't really put it on there.
Right.
None of us plugged in.
I know. I was interested to see, like, how the country music purists were going to react to, like, that first single that I put out, the Being Gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, got interesting, like, rhythm, bass lines and stuff.
Sure.
It's like, I can't wait to hear somebody tell me that's not country. It's going to be real fun.
Like, I'm sure there's someone out there that's so hardcore that's like, oh, it's not.
Well, what I kept telling the guys, like, I kept telling them to make it less country. Like, it's like, look, guys, my voice is country enough. No matter what comes out of my mouth, no matter what you play, like, it's, like,
you listen to the words and hear you.
It's going to be, this is going to be, you know,
but
I don't need you to camp it out for me. Like, we need to,
there are the different levels of people. Some say country music died with Florida Georgia Line. Some say it died with Garth Brooks. Some
right.
says it's
oh,
been
yeah.
dead since
you
Waylon
to,
was alive. Like,
you talk to people that were in Nashville in the 80s and the 90s, and they're like, oh, yeah, we were saying all this same shit back then.
Yeah.
it just keeps going. Which unfortunately means, like, in 20 years, I'll be telling them.
Yeah, they're like, you should have heard this stuff.
Worse.
Yeah,
well,
you should have heard the stuff we were saying when, you know, with Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, there's that, what's his name, Reginald or whatever, that Twitter account where he's, I'm just glad I'll be dead when they consider Kane Brown classic country.
Oh, goodness. But, you know, like, country music has always been influenced by pop music.
Yeah.
Like, Ray Price was pop music.
Oh, yeah?
Because back then, pop was big band.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then they put... So Ray Price was singing, you know, was Cherokee Cowboys, and they were doing their country thing, their shuffles and their waltzes, and then they did production with the strings, and with "Don't Look So Sad, I Know," you know, then he was a crooner that was a country crooner, but that was pop music then, so they were having the same discussion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back then, country music didn't have drums, like Hank Williams put drums, I think it was Hank.
Yeah.
And they were like, "No!"
Yeah, we saw a bluegrass band in Chicago a couple of years ago, and they're like, "Buy our records. The first one has a drum, Ron, so we're not as proud of that one." I'm like, "What's that?"
Yeah, there's a thing about that. But I mean, this discussion has been happening since the
50s. Yeah, totally.
Like since there was radio, since there was something that was considered country music and popular music.
Yeah,
like. So, and people forget that pop stands for popular.
Yeah, exactly.
So they try to take,
that's true.
Yeah. So they try to take the pop music and infiltrate this other thing and make it a bigger thing. And it happened in the 70s with disco. That's where we got some of those Dolly and Kenny collaborations, you know, where it's like there's a disco beat behind that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Islands in the Stream is a Bee Gees song.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, you hit the 80s, and, like, you have Dan Seals. "I Want to Bop with You, Baby." I mean, that's not country.
You get Achy Breaky Heart.
And then you come in, and you have Achy Breaky Heart, and then, like, there's, like, every decade has another pop infiltration, you know?
Yeah, but I do love, though, with...
But it always goes back to something.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do love that, like, Charlie Crockett and Joshua Headley, they both have that very old-school sound, but it sounds new at the same time.
Right.
Like, there have been bands, they put out their record where they're trying to sound like a 50s band, and they sound like they're from the 50s, whereas these ones,
they sound
old,
modern.
But they're definitely modernized a little bit. And that's what I love, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Headley's record is great. Whoever did his vocal mixes are really great.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds modern.
Yeah. It's always going to be that argument of, I've had people say, like, or else they'll have also the same argument of just like, that ain't country, you're only country if you listen to Thomas Rhett. I'm like, what?
Also love that Marry Me song.
I do actually like that song. It's not.
I wish it didn't have that beat behind it, though.
Yeah.
Like,
if
they would just let that be a country song, it's a country song.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I feel like
lyrically, the storyline is there. Like, and it's clever, and because that's what. I mean, whenever it comes down to it, like substance-wise, Bruce Robinson told me one time. So I don't want to steal his quote. I stole it from somebody else, but. Country music has always been for grown-ups, and pop music has always been for kids. And whenever you, and so now there's nothing for the grown-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it used to be that country music had storylines, and there were at least like some sort of like adult, you know, not that every song has to be about cheating and drinking and whatever, but it's like something that it makes you think. And pop music makes you have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, there's nothing on the radio that makes you go, that's why the same thing. That's why Tin Man happened. That's why, you know, Stapleton happened.
Like,
those,
Fire Away by Stapleton.
Yeah, those things. That song, that Marry Me song is great because it makes you go, oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Exactly.
Actually, like, I was in. Whenever I heard that song coming on the radio, I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. And like, oh, good one. And then I got to the "But She Didn't Want to Marry Me." I was like, I'm so sad now.
It sounds like I should be having fun, but it's so sad.
Well, it's also the same with on his last album, I think, he had a song called "Crash and Burn," and it was written by Stapleton. And I went online and just read the lyrics. Like, that's an amazing song.
Right.
But it just sounds, it's just a pop song.
Right.
And I was like, oh, it sucks because it's such, like, I'd love to hear a Stapleton play.
Yeah, they put production on it that makes me not want to You know, like as soon as I hear the, like those, like,
it's like, nah.
I'm not into that. If that's what it takes you, if that's what makes you write it, because sometimes people use those beats to start to get inspiration to write a song.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing. There's like track guys, that's what they call them. Called track guys. Go into a songwriting meeting and somebody's like, are you a track guy? Yeah, cool. Okay, well, I've been working on this. There's like a track guy and a lyric guy.
Huh.
So one guy has like some music and some beats and stuff, and then the other guy writes the lyrics to that track. So like that's kind of, and I don't know if that's how they've been doing hip hop for a long time or whatever. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But that's what's happened. That's what happens in Nashville now.
Okay.
I've never written with a track guy. Drew Kennedy writes with him a lot, so y'all should interview Drew on here and ask him.
I got his last album like a couple months early to review, and I loved that album.
Yeah,
House,
y'all
the song House blew me away. I loved that song.
Yeah. Did you write that with Lori?
I'm not sure. I never got the songwriting credits, so I'm not sure.
Home into a House.
Yeah, that song blew me away.
I think that part of Lori co-write. He writes for her a lot. He's so jealous.
Yeah.
but y'all should interview him because he does that track thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
And he loves
love
it.
Love to talk to him.
And he loves it.
We'll call him up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start blasting him with, like, Twitter.
So what's going to happen now, like, in the next couple years or whatever, all these Drew Kennedy songs are going to start getting cut, and you're going to be like, this sounds like a hip-hop song, but those words are real smart.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm so confused.
I don't know what's
you know. So, like, sometimes they have to use those things, but then I go, but you didn't have to use it in an actual song. Taking the track out.
Could have put an actual drummer on the song.
But yeah, I do love that Mary B song.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, there are the guilty pleasures.
I'm sure there's more that I would love if I listened to it more. But I have to do that. I have to go, if I heard the writer sing this with a guitar, that would be a great song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I realized that about myself, that I just don't prefer that production.
Sure.
Of like the big, you know, pop production or whatever, but every once in a while, like today, I heard that Kenny Chesney song, and I was like, yeah, I'm into this. Like, I think it was the second verse and something that surprised me. I don't remember what it is now, but it surprised me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
good line.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Travis Meadows'
like,
album came out,
surprisingly great line, guys.
Yeah, he introduced me to that song when Travis Meadows' album came out. We talked about it on our podcast when we did an episode about him, and yeah, that song is fantastic. Yeah, so when we found out that Chesney was covering Travis Mouse and John Bowman, we're like, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's reaching out to people
right.
who kind of deserve it. And like going back to Eric.
Well, he and like Gaddis was writing for him for a while too, and that's another, like Keith Gaddis, he did like El Cerrito Place. Those were his. Y'all need to get that. You don't need to get Gaddis' record if you don't have it. Big City Blues.
Sure.
It's the only record he's ever put out.
Oh, yeah, so just find the one.
Yeah. Nice. Keith Gaddis.
Yeah.
But Chesney reached out. Like, they became friends and he wrote too. So he likes the good guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's the same with, like, I mean, going back to Eric Church, he had, like, Rhiannon Giddens on his, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but had her on a track.
Yeah.
He brought Ash McBride on stage with him when I saw him in Chicago a few years back. I'm like,
why can't I get to be friends with Eric Church?
Well, our huge overreaching podcast, I'm sure.
I'm sure
he's listening.
Eric,
right now.
If you're listening, Ray Wiley Hubbard likes me. His wife made my baby a quilt. to be my friend. I like your songs.
But yeah, I just love real country music, and that's the whole reason we started this thing.
It's just to
help people with. I mean, like we always said, even if we can get one more fan of a band, we've done our job. That's
so
all we can
get
all
one can. More person to check out your music.
Yeah.
This is success. Other than the fact that we're just bummed we got to meet you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I talk a lot.
No, it's perfect.
That's great. Kevin was worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Oh,
well, I was worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Just ask me one question, and I'll be talking about something completely different. There's
that's
lots
perfect.
Of that reminds me.
But that makes it so much easier.
And, I mean, yeah, it's just insane of what's happened with this. So if we got to talk to Dale Watson like about the Ameripolitan Awards, which is another cool thing of we've had the discussion of, do you kind of give in and say that this is what country is now, and like he did, he went to Ameripolitan or Americana or folk or, you know, all those different titles, or do we say, no, this is country and we want to keep
hold
it as
our
country.
Ground.
Yeah. And it's always a decision of like, I mean, I see both arguments of just like, if you're going to take this and say it's country, then we're going to go do our own thing over here. And then the Ameripolitan Awards have done great things for introducing like other artists like that into it. And so we like that. But at the same time, yeah, we are stubborn. We want to say like, no, we listen to country music.
Yeah.
You don't.
Like, no. You don't understand.
But thanks so much for talking with us.
No problem.
Is your album still for pre-order outside like iTunes and stuff? Or okay, so one, go
iTunes is all up for pre-order on my website. You can get physical vinyl pre-order and CDs and vinyl pre-order.
Yeah, everyone.
Yep,
get
about
that.
To start shipping out all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking.
Anybody want to come hold a baby so I can ship out all those things?
we're saying that's a great day because it's October
26th.
We're saying like there's like four albums coming out the day, so like we're gonna have a great day that day. Listen to all this.
We're gonna take off work and just leave.
I know.
I think we got Whitey that day and two others that I can't remember.
Yeah, there's another girl. Who it was, but I saw it the other day.
Yeah, that's the other thing with starting this podcast and just being able to reach out to people is this year alone, we've covered 200 albums that have come out this year. We're like,
awesome.
We didn't expect that much music when starting it that would come out, but every Friday I just go on and I look at all the albums that come out, and there's like, you know, five or six a week. And
you're like, I spent
$2,000
on iTunes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I started getting into buying vinyls recently, so spending all my money on that, so that's.
I gave him my American Aquarium vinyl that I got for pre-ordering their album.
I have that too.
Yeah, we were bummed that they weren't here this year, but I'm guessing you scheduled
with the help, BJ.
Yeah.
Pigs was here.
Who was
merch guy? Pigs.
Oh yeah.
Probably still here. All right, I'm gonna go feed a baby. I think.
Yeah.
We don't want to hold any longer.
Alright!
I realized when we came down here we didn't bring any cool shit to give anybody, but we got koozies.
We have a big box of koozies that we wanted to give people, and then we left it at home, and we're set.
Yeah.
I left my baby's headphones at home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not that loud.
Yeah. And I was standing on the side of the departed last night going, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. And I got loud.
When you try and make it last, we were passing time together just by laying in the grass. And we stared into the heavens and we saw the worlds collide. We were lying still and watching, they were flying through the sky. Stars in Oklahoma, never seen. stay like a photograph of grace. But fools need supervision or a gift for saving face. Yeah, we